directly and like a child. And God gives, and He does the work. Bless Him. I'm so glad He doesn't, in a sort of a covert and backhanded manner, only dole out some things to know who know their Bible better than others. You see, if that were a scurvy trick, that's the way human beings do it. God doesn't do that. He just loves everybody equally. You see, and He just moves. You should read your New Testament. You should read the biography of Jesus. That's the surest way. You need pick up modern books on healing at all. The Bible's the book on healing. Just read the Gospels. That's all you need to do, and see Jesus. That's what they said, sirs, we want to see Jesus. See? Praise God. And immediately Jesus took about the humblest form you could expect Him to take, even lower than a servant, that you'd love to read about in Philippians 2. He said, now just think of me as a little grain of wheat. You can hardly see me. I'm going to fall into the ground. There you are. When they said they wanted to see Jesus, He said, you won't see me. I'm going to drop into the ground out of sight. He said, really? I didn't know. Well, you read John 12 and see. I put it colloquially, but that's what He said. That's His heart. See, but we come out with sententious statements. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, you see. But what Jesus was saying, just think of me. If you want to think of me, if you want to really see me, just a little. See, if I held a corn of wheat here, it's very doubtful whether you people at the back will ever see it. That's why you should always sit at the front. And there it is. See? Straight away. We want to see Jesus. And all He wants you to see, beloved, is the wonderful law of life that's in Him. I fall into the ground and die, He said, I'll bear much fruit. And so the Lord comes to move to us in this way. And let's all be very, very simple, very, very basic, and very, very honest, and as sweet and as childlike as we can possibly be. And you'll see what God will do among us. Praise God. One of the great dangers of moving in an age when there's a sort of a revival of body, body, body talk is to forget the head, head, head. Almost. That's one of the great dangers. Praise God. Even He wanted the emphasis on the body, you see. I'm going to fall into the ground and die. And for every ear full of corn, there's something down under the ground unseen. That's me, He says. You can see the great body of corn. There you are, you see. He's always like that. He's lovely. He's wonderful. And He's simple. And He works on basic laws of simplicity that we just don't see. We miss them. Well, at least so I'm discovering as I go on with the Lord. He wants to do more and more and more in our lives. Well, anyway, that's sort of a little introduction. We'll get to the Word, shall we, beloved? And let the Lord... Well, it's not an introduction to a theme. I mean, I wasn't introducing a theme I was going to talk to you about. But just to exhort you to simplicity and humility. And knowing as little as possible, as long as you know Him. And if you can excel in the knowledge of Him, you will find that all the other knowledge you thought you knew will have to be revised. And the Lord will bring you into the full stature of Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. That's what He wants to do with every one of us this afternoon. I think perhaps we'll turn into the Roman letter. and into the best chapter in Romans. If I asked you to turn to your favourite chapter in Romans, where would you turn? That's right. If I asked you to turn to your favourite verse in this chapter, which one would you quote? That's right. Almost certain. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. You realize, beloved, that when God called you, he called you according to his purpose. And all things will only work together for your good if you are in line with his purpose. Let that sink right in. You see? They'll all work together and it'll all be good for us if we will, having heard the call of God, come into line with his purpose for our lives. If you evade that, you'll find a lot of things will work together for your evil. But if you come into this, then all things, even though they seem potentially evil, are nothing but good to us in our lives. Praise his name. This is a wonderful thing for our hearts to realize. And we know, do we not, that this purpose is very plainly stated for us. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, conformed, because the words to be are not in the Greek. He also did predestinate, already conformed, you could put in there, for to be, already conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Amen. Now that's his purpose. That Jesus should be the firstborn among many sons, among many brethren. So that when Jesus, it's just as though, you can put this quite clear in your mind, that when Jesus appeared on the earth and was manifest as the firstborn son on the earth, he was set forth as though God already had, and indeed he had, in his heart, got a great family of sons, and he was set forth as the great prototype, if you like, the great pattern, the great son, when he came onto this earth. What a lovely thing for us to remember. The firstborn among many brethren, and his brethren, mark you, his brethren, born of the same spirit and of the same father, and of the same seed, born from heaven. Oh, what a wonderful thing this is, beloved, for our hearts to realize. And realizing it, we have to move into this with all power. We'll look higher up in the chapter, and in verse 26, we're told, the Spirit also helpeth our weaknesses. Now I want you to notice, he hasn't come to help our sins. He hasn't come to help our transgressions. He hasn't come to help anything else but our weaknesses, infirmities. Weaknesses that cause us to fail to reach the ideal. The ideal is that we've got to be true spiritual brothers to Jesus. Of whom, of which family, he is the firstborn. Glory be to the name of the Lord. You see, that's a precious thing. So, as the firstborn, in line with the great scriptural revelation of the firstborn. As you will know, that the firstborn was in all the race, as we were reading this morning at this lovely little dedication service we had, the firstborn, the first male to open the womb, had to be entirely holy to God. Before God instituted the Aaronic priesthood, the priesthood in every family ran down through the firstborn. He was the priest of the family, always. It was patterned on the Melchizedekian idea that is revealed to us in Hebrews. I'm not going to talk about that this afternoon. But, beloved, God, and you'll remember this even in the Old Testament, even though God intended Moses to be both prophet and priest and king, and he refused to be priest, that's why God gave him Aaron. But Aaron was his elder brother, so it was right, Aaron was the firstborn, and he had the priesthood. It's a marvelous thing. God always sticks to the principle. He's always consistent, though it seems sometimes he goes backwards to it. But he goes directly to it, and he never varies, and he never breaks his laws. Never. Anyway, Jesus was the firstborn. And when he rose from the dead, he got the double portion. He not only went home to Father, but he asked God for the Holy Ghost as well. You see? Amen. And he received the Holy Spirit and poured him forth. And a tremendous thing that we have to see is that this Holy Ghost came forth through Jesus Christ. And with direct intent of purpose, God, direct from the Father, passing through the Son, if he didn't already know, which of course he did, but I want you to see the perfection of the pattern, that if he was entirely ignorant of Jesus Christ, being poured out through that risen living person, he learned him on the way through. You know what I mean? He picked up the stamp and the pattern. Pardon me using these sort of banal illustrations, but it conveys the idea. And he, if you like, he came down through Jesus Christ, all fresh and glorious from heaven, and to fall onto men and women to bring forth the pattern of the life through which he was flowing. It's as living and as wonderful and as real as that. Amen. Now then, beloved, he's come to help our weaknesses. And as I've already said, in our weakness, we have many failures. I want to encourage you all in this room. I don't think there are many people in this room older than myself. I think there may be two, or at the most three people in this room that are older than myself. So I want to encourage you. None of you have made as many mistakes as I have. None of you. That's encouraging to you, isn't it? Nobody has failed so much as I have. Say, failed? Oh yes, at the ideal. You see, that's the tremendous thing. It isn't success in what's called a ministry. That isn't the thing that's in line at all. It isn't whether I succeed in preaching the gospel all around the world. It isn't if I succeed in running more conferences in a year than any other man breathing. It isn't if I succeed in getting more healings than any other man, which I don't. It isn't when I know more about the Bible than any other man. It isn't that at all. It's whether, with the knowledge and enlightenment I have, I achieve the ideal and the revelation of Jesus Christ that has been made known unto me. Now that's where failure lies. Has it been failure to speak in a tongue when you felt you had the anointing that's so tremendous? You see? It's whether or not, with the knowledge you have of the glorious personage of Jesus Christ and the clear, lasting power of that blood and the eternal work of Calvary, you, by the aid of the Spirit, considering you've been born again for how long now? 5 years? 10 years? 20 years? 30 years? are up to where you ought to be. That's it. That is further on than you are now. This isn't intended that you should get all sort of looking inside and introspective, but that you and I may see what the Lord is really on about in our lives. That the Spirit of God has come to help our infirmities. What a tremendous thing this is. It's very important, because if you're a child in verse 17, then you're an heir of God, and you're a joint heir with Christ. Amen. I'm not just his brother, but I'm also an heir of God. And a joint heir with him. That is, that I can enjoy exactly what he has, as though I'm a firstborn from the dead too. Which I am. Actually, my second birth, I've gone back to the first birth. That's the birth I had in the heart and mind of God before I had the second birth, when I was born of my parents on the earth. You see that? It's got, by the second birth, God is reversing it back to the birth, the conception of the idea in his heart before the world was, or before Eve sinned and Adam followed her like a lamb to the slaughter. You see? This is the whole thing. In the second birth, God is putting things back into the original state, which takes precedence over everything else. Do you see that? Hallelujah. If we're seeing things straight, then there's some real hope for us. And so, beloved, we're joint heirs with Christ. And therefore, there's no reason why I should come short of anything that God has prepared for me. So I go back to verse 26. We know, verse 26, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And you are not to think that speaking in tongues is the groaning, because they can't be uttered in any tongue. It says they can't. So that's the end of that silly notion. There are some people who advance this theory that when you speak in tongues, it's the groaning of the Spirit in you. But it distinctly says that they can't be uttered, so we'd better believe the Bible. Praise God. These are completely unutterable. Even if you stood on your head and prayed in tongues, it wouldn't make any difference at all. They cannot be uttered. God wants us to see what he's talking about. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Do you see that? And when that is happening, we know that all things work together for good. Praise God. This is a tremendous thing that God is telling us. You see, because the will of God was set before time began. The will of God, the purpose of God, is that Jesus Christ should be the firstborn among many brethren. The mind of the Spirit is saying, yes, Father, I'm in perfect agreement with you. That's what we'll do. I'll go down on earth and I'll reproduce sons in the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's what he's come down here to do. And the whole thing about it, beloved, is that whilst this is all going on, your heart is being searched. He that searches the heart, blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, he knows the mind of the Spirit. You don't have to tell him at all. He knows the mind of the Spirit. And he's making intercession for us according to the will of God. Now, isn't this marvelous? With groanings which can't be uttered. This then, beloved, is the revelation that God has for us. And it is in this background, that's all introduction, I want us to see this particular thing that God has for us to understand very, very clearly. It's all in this 8th chapter of the Roman letter. We go back to the beginning of the letter, the beginning of the chapter, verse chapter 8, where we read, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, but to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Amen. And then, as we saw it, children and heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. You see? What a precious thing then that God has said to us. And here we have the three realms in which we're going to be like Jesus Christ. We're his brethren, we must be like him. And the first realm is in the realm of the Spirit. You see, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What a precious thing this is then, beloved, to know that spiritually, in our spirits, we are completely free. This is the basic thing from which the Holy Ghost makes a man free. He makes him free from the law of sin and death, because there was no law of sin and death in Christ Jesus. And he is the Spirit of the life that's in Christ Jesus. He's the Spirit of that very life. Amen. As we were thinking, I don't know whether it was Friday night or yesterday, it was when that spirit came on Jesus Christ, or on Mary, that life came forth from Mary. Through Mary. Amen. Now, beloved, this is the thing that God has done with us. You know, what we need to do more and more is get ourselves acquainted, fully acquainted, with the ways that God is working, the things that God is doing. Not just so that we can stand up and give a marvelous testimony about how 5 years ago we were drug addicts or drinkers or sex maniacs or perverts or whatnot, or other worldlings, or just mere churchgoers, and what God did for us. But beyond that, hallelujah, to get acquainted so that you can testify with understanding and know that what God is doing is bringing us up into this full likeness to Jesus Christ. This is the thrill of it all. This is the thrill of it. God hasn't given me something second rate when he's given me a second birth. He's bringing me back to the original, the first rate, the highest grade. Oh, what a precious thing then for our hearts to realize this, that you and I have been brought into a new life governed by entirely new law. And alas, the tragedy of it all is that men and women do not know this. They lose, they miss so much of what God is wanting to do, because it hasn't really come upon them that God is moving in them with a completely new law of life. And that this life, spiritual life, cannot be lived upon the old laws at all. Can't be done. That's why the Holy Ghost has come. You see, the old life, it isn't subject to the law of God at all. Never was subject to the law of God. Cannot be, says the scripture. This is the weakness and failure of the Mosaic system. This is why God did away with it, to bring us into that which is entirely new, carried by the Holy Ghost himself from heaven. Oh, blessed be his name. We're to be made free from the law of sin and death. What a terrible thing it is, beloved, for a man to keep sinning and keep dying. That all the lovely blessings he got on Sunday, he sins on Monday morning and it's all died on him. He's out of it again. Then he tries some repentance and he gets some restoration or a measure of it, and then he sins again. Down he goes. And it's all died on him again. Oh, what a rotten thing. God has prepared something better than this for us, beloved. The Holy Ghost has come. We've got new life in our spirits. And God himself knows that this life cannot be lived except the new law of life be brought to us. Amen. And the simplicity of the law of life and the way it works is given us in both the beginning and the end of the epistle. The beginning of the epistle tells us this. Speaking of the Son of God, in the first chapter and verse 5, Paul says of him, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. Now this is the simplicity. Glory be to God. They had to obey the Mosaic law. But you see, we haven't been given the spirit of bondage again, that we're bound to keep the Mosaic law at all. we've been given the spirit of liberty. And the great function of the spirit of liberty is to cry, Abba, Father. And the next thing that follows after that great birth cry, Abba, Father, as you'll find it in Hebrews, when he cometh into the world, he said, Lo, I've come to do thy will, O my God. There's the cry of the firstborn. And you're a joint heir with him.
Praise God.
That's the cry of the firstborn. Lo, I've come to do thy will, O my God. So you cry, Father, Abba, Father, I'm here to do your will, Lord. Hallelujah. You see? This is the new liberty that you have. It's not a spirit of bondage. You're not being threatened with anything at all. There's no you must. It's you are able. That's a different matter altogether. And it's a law. It's not a hit and miss business. It's something which functions in you regularly, sweetly, simply, and all that men and women have to be trained to do. And oh God, raise up preachers and ministers who will persist and insist in this, is that you will obey the inner urgings of the Spirit. Amen. But you see, I find great confusion amongst believers amongst this. They can't tell what's the urge that's going in them. You were talking about this yesterday, remember. There's a power that works in you. There's a power that works in the children of disobedience, we're told, who are living according to the course of this age. And the power is the power of the prince of the air, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. There's another power that works in the children of obedience. And he's the prince of the power of heaven. Hallelujah. Not the air, the heaven, and the heaven of heavens. He's the prince. Bless him. And he comes, and it's his power. And all we've got to do is to obey the glorious leading of the Spirit. As many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. We say, Abba, Father, and the Spirit come to lead us. And we say, praise thy name, Lord. Oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. That's why so many of you, when you had a very real salvation and new birth, all sorts of things happened in your life, but you did it quite spontaneously, didn't you? You remember this happened and that happened, and well, it was all so good. And then you got amongst people that went with big black Bibles to church and all of them. And it all went. That's right, isn't it? I'm telling your story for you, aren't I? But I meet this all over the land, that's how I know. And people have put off this spontaneous response to the leadership of the Spirit and are brought back to legalism. That's right. I'm telling you what I've discovered. I think it's a terrible tragedy. Because they didn't say amen right, or because when they prayed they stood up and said, Oh Lord, I think you're wonderful. I've heard young people stand and say, Lord, it's smashing. Well, of course that upsets all the great beards. They don't like that. You should quote a text of scripture at God. You shouldn't talk like that. That's an eruptive spirit within you. Oh God, why? For what reason? I met a man, he was a Welshman. All Welshmen are like this, I expect, really, I don't know. But the Lord had met him. He was an absolute drunkard. And God met him and did wonderful things in his life, you see. And he went down to a meeting in the church. And he used to stand up and he used to pray. And none of the jargon of Christianity came out. He prayed in the sort of thought patterns and kind of language he'd used when he was going around with his pub friends, you see. And he was pouring out his natural speech. God will never answer your prayer. You want to use the Bible when you're praying. And what's happened to him? Smashed. Came to me nearly weeping. You see, this is the whole tragedy, beloved. We're being told that the flesh is the spiritual and that the spiritual is the flesh. That's what we're being told. Everybody's turned us upside down. Glory. I want to tell you, when the Spirit makes intercession in you, he makes them with groanings that just can't be uttered. Therefore, they're never even being uttered by all the finest prophets or psalmists or anything. They can't be uttered. There's a reality in the Spirit that gets hold of God. Amen. He doesn't know any language. Praise God. But it moves in rugged reality. Hallelujah. It's absolutely true. To move with God. Of course, read your Bibles, and as you read them more and more, no doubt you'll quote them. But the whole blessed truth lies here, that if you don't pray any prayer that in league with and in line with your spirit and what your spiritual state is, that won't be heard either, even if though it be the best Bible phraseology. So the Lord moves us in and moves us on in this marvelous life of the Spirit. But more than just the Spirit, you will find, and this is very important, that it says this, God wants, verse 4, I've just changed it, the righteousness of the law to be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally or fleshly minded, or to mind the things of the flesh, is death. But to be spiritually minded, or to mind the things of the Spirit, is life and peace. Amen. So now we pass from the spirit to the mind. Because you are more than spirit, you are also mind. Now, I expect you've discovered that it's in the realm of the mind where so much goes wrong in people's lives. It's in the realm of the mind. Attacks come in the mind. The thought life, the realm of the imagination. And you must know that the realm of the imagination and the intellect and all things of the thought life, they are in every normal person, that is, everybody you meet, they're geared down to and they run parallel with sin and Satan and the old man. They just are on that level. And this is why, beloved, people are so vulnerable, because they do not see that the Lord not only has a new birth for the spirit and wants to come up and take his home and dwell in us in the spirit of us, but he also is very concerned about these mental processes of us too. That we've not only got to be put right dispositionally in our spirits, that is to have a new nature, but we have to be processed in the thinking of God, in the mind of God, in the mental processes and powers of God. For God is more than spirit power. He has mental power. He has will power. Glory be to God. He has word power too, praise his wonderful name. Once we see this thing, what God is moving to, and you see, if you mind the things of the flesh, this is what it says, you're after the flesh. That's all there is in it. You're still patterned down to or according to the flesh. If you're minding the things of the flesh. See? You haven't been changed yet. Glory be to God. It isn't that God just snatches wicked things and evil dispositions out of you. He changes your attitude, your mental attitude toward them too. You don't think like you used to think about these things that used to bring you pleasure. You see. You think differently about them. A change goes on in the great mental processes of your heart. Glory be to God. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Now that's what the Lord does. You see, you're not only to have the Spirit and therefore changing you as from a carnal or, if you like, a dead spirit to a living spirit, but that you are to have the mind of the Spirit as well. Now, this is a precious thing. You see, they that are after, that's your Greek preposition kata, down to. Those that are down to the Spirit. Amen. Not all up in the air. The Spirit that works, the power of the Spirit of the air works if you're getting up there. Come down out of it. This is where Pentecost has gone to Pentecostalism. Because they're all up in the air, you see. And they're all interfered with the prince of the power. You know what I mean by all? I'm speaking generally then, not all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Generally. But the whole thing, beloved, is that you and I are to be down to the Spirit. They that are down to the Spirit. Glory be to God. That's it. Somebody who says, oh, glory, Lord, you've given me this blessed Spirit. Now then, getting down to it. We're going to get down to this. Get down to what? This will of God that the Holy Ghost has come to perform in your life. You've been called according to purpose. Now the Holy Ghost is the only one that's allowed to have any thoughts about Jesus. He's come to completely recondition your whole mental processes about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see? And it's what he thinks about Jesus. It's what he thinks about how you should live. It's what he knows about how Jesus lived his babyhood life and his boyhood life. That was all hidden. Bless God it was hidden. You don't know. It's not even written in the book. You see him at when he was 8 days old, as we were thinking this morning, he was taken up to the temple. You see him then, and you don't see him anymore, at least 12. And then after that you don't see him again for another 18 years, till he's 30. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It was all hidden. So that the Holy Ghost should come and reveal it to you and do this thing in you. Everybody wants to be born again 1 minute and the next minute doing the 30 years old works of Jesus. That's what they want to do. That's the tragedy. And they're taught they can. Wrongly taught. Praise the name of the Lord. The blessed Holy Ghost has come, and this mind of the Spirit, he groans and groans and groans inside you. You know what he's groaning about, don't you? Because you're so thick-headed and stubborn. You don't know what you should pray for as you ought, so you keep praying about the things you oughtn't to pray about. That's right. I'm not twisting the Bible. It's written, we don't know what we should pray for. That's what he comes for. Because we don't know. What are you praying for at the moment? I mean, what's your general run of prayers in your prayer life? Besides sort of, you know, God bless me and my wife, our John and his wife, us four and no more sort of thing. I don't mean that at all. I mean, what is the general pattern of your prayer life? Well, I can easily tell you what mine is. In fact, I don't pray so much now as I used to. Now you can write me off your list if you like. What I do is groan. Oh, I want to be like you. And there are unspeakable groanings in me. I tell you that. I mean, how can you keep saying all day long, I want to be like you, Jesus. I want to be like you. I mean, God doesn't want a lot of verbiage. Repetitive things aren't so very great with God. But a great big groan in here, and when it sometimes bursts and sort of comes up to my consciousness, I find myself, Lord, he's teaching me, I'm becoming sane. Well, we pray for somebody to be healed, and they're healed. We pray for Alan and Eileen Vincent on the first. See, that's right. So it isn't all that then. Oh no, but in all the general context of it all, the blessed Holy Ghost has come, and he's come forth with intent of purpose from God to make everything work together for good in your life, so that you should know that things are going according to the eternal pattern in your life. So you pray for the mission field. Ooh, sometimes it's a specific person or a specific place, or sometimes it seems the whole wide world comes on your heart. And then what do you do? Well, you couldn't pray for every single soul in every place under every sky or place in the world, so you grew, Lord. You see? It's all a different thing. More is accomplished by groaning than all your thousands of words. You realize this, don't you? To come into line with the spirit that's groaning in your bowels is the great secret. Your mind being taught up from the spirit, not your spirit led by your mind. Now you're growing. Now you're developing. Now you're in the school of the spirit. Now you're actually becoming intelligent. Amen. And this is what God is seeking to do for us. He's not only made provision for our spirit, but he's made provision for our mind or soul. You know, this modern psychologist calls the soul the mind. Now, they don't know anything because they think you're only mind and body. They don't know anything about spirit because they're dead themselves. Well, most of them are some Christian psychologists, but I'm speaking quite genuinely now. Sort of pattern of scientific thought in the world in which we live. Spirit. Mind. Amen. Yeah. Are you minding the things of the Spirit? Well, you know where the Spirit is, don't you? Where is the Spirit? Where is he? Where's the Spirit? Ask me. Go on. I'll tell you. Here. He's in here. I'm not looking 1,000 ways to find out the things of the Spirit. All these things are going to work together for good because I love the Lord. Do you see this? Amen. You can discount all these other things. They've all got to work together. That's up to the Lord to do that. I can't fit them together. I don't bother about them. What's that got to do with it? I'm not running the universe. The Lord is doing that. Oh, I'm here. It's like Jesus, you see, he wanted to be up and at it, and the Lord said, no, you go back to Nazareth. Go on. Go on. But yeah. Put on something. Go on. Back he went. He couldn't put everything right when he was 12 years old. If you'd have unleashed him, you'd have said he was the wonder of the world at 12. The father said, go on. That there. Oh, hallelujah. You see? Then, I don't read too much into this, but I just want to follow the strict wording of Scripture. When he did eventually come forth, he came forth led by the Spirit. You read the opening chapters of your Gospel. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit. See? But if he'd have been disobedient, he wouldn't have been. Of course, you can't think of him being disobedient. Hallelujah. The perfect Son. But you're a joint heir with him and his brother. You're expecting different treatment from him, are you? You're not expecting a sort of an unqualified, better thing than Jesus, are you? Amen. He loves you. Glory, glory. And because he loved God, that marvelous boy of Nazareth, he went back. Yeah. Yes, he went back, and he just went with it. So the Lord did it. Glory be to God. To be taught of the Holy Ghost, beloved, to be taught of the Holy Ghost. Now, these are the things you won't find in the Old Testament. You wonder why I keep telling you to read the New Testament. You won't find anything of this in the Old Testament. You can find plenty of human failure and weakness in the Old Testament. But how about finding divine non-failure in the New? Hey, how about finding perfection in the New? God did away with the law because it could make nothing perfect. Hebrews 7, I'm quoting. That's what he says. Did away with it. But now, beloved, we're in the age of being changed from perfection to perfection. Preparation for ultimate glory. That's what we're in now. And we're to be led of the Spirit of God. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. You can know them all. Go into their homes, you'll see. They're minding the things of the flesh, and their homes speak to you, their possessions speak to you of flesh, 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 flesh. They're after the things. It doesn't matter whether they prophesy like an angel in a meeting. No, it doesn't make any difference. I mean, nothing in there. Doesn't matter if they can preach like St. John Chrysostom of the Golden Mouth. Doesn't matter about that. It's whether a man's mind is set on the Spirit of God within his own bowels in here. Amen. He knows how to walk step by step in accordance with the directives of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Whether he's led of the Spirit. They're the sons of God. To be carnally minded is death. But to have the mind of the Spirit, the minding of the Spirit, is life and peace. See, you have the law of the Spirit of life, but you won't have life and peace of mind unless you mind the Spirit. Glory be to God. How many people do you know who have permanent, profound, and perfect peace in all circumstances? Mm-hmm. Amen. They're the people who are minding the things of the Spirit. Amen. We'll go the last step, because we're not only spirit and mind, but we're body also. God's great provision for his children. Here it is. You, in verse 9, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead. Your body's dead if Christ is in you. If your spirit's alive, your body's dead. Amen. Stand up, all you dead bodies. If you're really dead. Let's see you. Yeah. You see? The body's dead. Is that right? Glory. You sit down. Here's the truth. Your body's dead. Now, this is the only way that you can control your body. And this is the only way God's bringing you into the inner secrets of how you can live your life in the body, in the flesh, and not be carnal flesh. You've got to have flesh, it's on your bones. All the time you're in this world. But it's got to be a body flesh, and not a carnal flesh. Not a flesh of sin, but a necessary flesh to keep you warm, I reckon, with some fat as well on your bones, till the Lord comes. So that you see what your body's for, and know what it's all about. He says, the body's dead because of sin. Amen. This is the way the Lord does it. There's sin everywhere. So he knows that if your body isn't brought to death, you'll be in sin. Even though you have had a marvelous birth. Even though you do talk about the bondages of the mind being broken. You see. Now let's go on. But the Spirit is life. Because of righteousness. Amen. What about righteousness? Well, God wants righteousness fulfilled in you. Because of righteousness. God is going to set forth righteousness. This is a great epistle on righteousness. You ought to really read it and go through it. Go through carefully every occurrence of righteousness and then the context of it and find out all about it. God wants his righteousness set forth. That's a precious thing. And righteousness, the righteousness of God has been declared for the remission of sins of the past. Romans chapter 3. But more than a declaration of the righteousness of God at Calvary, his righteousness now has to be shown in you. And me. And so here is how it works. It's ever so simple. I'm thrilled with the simplicity, the way that God does it. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Now the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead is clearly the Spirit of the Father. For it was the Father that raised up Jesus from the dead. You're told in Romans 6 that he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. You remember reading that? Oh, praise God. This is also tremendous. And if he dwells in you, here we are. It says, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit. That dwells in you. And so you see how God does it. He brings the old body with the law of sin working in its members to death. Amen. Have you come to that sudden end in your life? I meet so many people, and they've never come to this sudden end. They say, oh no, you see, lots of things went, but this didn't stop. Personal habits, these are the very things. Unclean personal things, you see. All mixed up inside. Oh, he forgave me. Oh, I believe I'm saved. But did these have these things of thing in you that sort of go by law in you? Irresistible. Eh? Why are they irresistible? Because the law's not been broken. The law of them. Do you ever hear the story of King Canute? When his courtiers thought he was such a wonderful king, they set him on a throne at the edge of the ocean and believed that he could stop the tide coming in. He only got his feet wet. He couldn't break it because it works by a law. Amen. Now then, my beloved, these things work by law. And the whole glorious truth is this, beloved, that if you and I, God is dwelling in us and God is moving in this a wonderful way, then your very mortal bodies that made Paul cry out in the end of chapter 7, verse 24, oh wretched man that I am, I've got a body of death, you see, it's in his body. The law was only in his mind. See? Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? I can't break the laws that chain me and bind me and curse me and carnalize me. Even when my prayings are greatest and my psalms singing highest and my law believing the most, can't do it. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The man who came and lived on this earth and broke the powers that worked in fall of humanity. He didn't just break them at the cross. He broke them from the very moment when he started to live. He broke them at the cross for us, not for himself. Amen. He lived for 33 years in the prime of his manhood when everybody else is defeated outside of Christ. They've arrived at their primacy and they're the most utterly defeated creatures that you ever did see. And Jesus Christ comes and he's broken the law of sin and death in the spirit. He's broken the very carnal workings in the mind. He's broken the laws that chain your members to the sin habit within. That's it. He brings it to death. Glory be to God. And then, blessedly, the Holy Ghost comes and quickens you. Do you feel and sense and know the moving of the new law in your very members? Eh? Not only some of the easier things of the body, but all the deep, deep things of the body as well. The subtle things that are bound up with very manhood and womanhood. Breaks them. Set you free. Hallelujah. We've not got the spirit of bondage again to fear. And you say, well, he breaks them, but how about the pressure that comes on my mind at times? Hallelujah. Mind the things of the spirit. Come off the things of the flesh. Go by the groanings of the spirit in you. Learn to obey. Walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit.
Oh, what a precious thing it is. We're heirs of God. We're not heirs of Satan. First birth, you were an heir of Satan. Second birth, you're an heir of God. Do you see this? Amen. And you have the life of God in you. Have you? That's right. This then is that great and important thing. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. Glory be to God. Man, how you'll live. When we learn to mortify the deeds of the body, even the legitimate deeds of the body, to bring them into the place of death, all the things that are absolutely right, in certain conditions and under certain relationships, offering. This shall not have control over me any more than sin shall have dominion over me. Amen. By the grace of God bringing them all in, here then is the true Son of God. He's walking in the Spirit. He's not after the flesh at all. Nothing like the flesh. Moving as God wants him to move. Oh, and when we see these tremendous things, that the Lord himself is saying to us, we're joint heirs with Christ. We're joint heirs with him. What a thought, beloved. And there he is now in his glory. And we're joint heirs with him. Now you can go on and fill your life up with glory. Up and up, more and more, until you're just satisfying Father's heart. You don't wonder then, I suppose, that Paul finishes up this chapter by saying, I'm persuaded that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. All right, I think probably we've gone far enough. The whole wonderful truth lies at your feet, beloved. He's the firstborn among many brethren. Oh, and we're just conformed to the image of the Son. You see, when you see your conformity back there, that you were chosen in Christ, and there it's all set, hallelujah, and you know this is the pattern. You know that the Spirit of God's working this. You know in your life that everything's lovely. Everything's all right. Nothing can go wrong. All you do is apply yourself to this marvelous, marvelous Holy Ghost. Now let's pray, shall we? For your whole manhood, spirit, soul, and body. It is full. It is complete. Amen. Amen. Accept it, beloved. Go on, open your bosom to it. Open your mind to it. Open your arms to it. Open it. Just receive it. Perhaps the gift was never made plain to you before. Perhaps you never understood. That's why there's no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord. So what Jesus teaches, he doesn't teach to condemn, but teaches to lift up and enlighten and bring you in to all his fullness. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Rise up and say, Lord, I see the whole thought patterns of my mind have been broken or changed. Hallelujah. All the drive and urges of my body, well, hallelujah. They've all been set on different laws now. The whole life of me has been changed. I'm a son of God. Yes. Glory. Glory be to God. That's why you can't think evil about anybody anymore, you see. That's why you can't speak evil about anybody anymore. See? That's why you can't think like an animal about other people anymore. Hallelujah. And that's why when the devil tries to make you do all these things, you say no. Hallelujah. Now you're learning that it's the pathway of obedience, not the automatic work of the Spirit, but the response of your heart to the Lord to grow up into an understanding, intelligent, cooperative son. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, we love you. This afternoon, we're more than persuaded that nothing can separate us from thy love. We're absolutely certain that we're in Christ Jesus. And now, Lord, you're looking for the Spirit of Christ in us. That Spirit which says, Lord, I'm going to be like thy Christ. I'm going to walk like my Jesus. I'm going to be all you want me to be, Lord. Father. Oh, Holy Ghost. And he knows the set of your mind. And Father searches your heart. And the Holy Ghost has come forth to do God's will in you. Isn't that marvelous? Amen. Praise him. Praise him.